evening. Let's turn to hymn number 306 this evening. 306, Abundant Life. Under the burdens of guilt and care, many a spirit is grieving, who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting receiving. 306. Shall we stand to sing? Be seated. Let's unite in prayer. We'll ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Father, we thank thee for gathering us here to seek your face, to come and worship thy great name, and to open up your word. And we pray that we will have heaven's blessing upon our souls in every aspect of our meeting, and that your presence will be very real to every one of our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you came into the world to live the life that we should have lived, a perfect life, a sinless life, a life of victory over every sin and temptation, defeating the devil. And we thank you, Lord, that you are not only our example, but that you weaved a perfect righteousness, that you would bestow upon us the perfection and the beauty of your own righteousness to your people. We thank thee that you died the death that we ought to have died. And we thank thee, O Lord, that there on the cross you took our sins, you took our place, and that you have triumphed over every accusation of guilt and the law and has settled the account. And we thank you tonight that we are a redeemed people by the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank thee that you're alive tonight, that you've risen from the tomb, ascended into the right hand of God, and we lift up our hearts unto Thee and praise Your holy name. We ask that You will minister to us. O Lord, You've promised to send us the Holy Spirit in Your place, that He is that true vicar of Christ. And we ask that this night and each day we will have the ministry of the Spirit to our hearts and lives, and that we will walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. But grant, Lord, that we will have Thy power upon us to live the life You want us to live. We pray that You'll bless every home represented. Bless those who have joined us here tonight. Bless those who joined by webcast. Minister to their hearts. We pray that You will pour in Your grace and that You'll be glorified this evening in our worship, in our ministry of the Word, and in our obedience to that Word as we would go forth to live more and more unto God and less unto this world. We ask Your blessing now. Oh, come and meet with us in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn is just over the page, 307, Step Out on the Promise and Get Under the Blood. O mourner in Zion, 307 in our hymnal. Be seated. Our Bible reading is Matthew chapter 11, Matthew 11, and we're going to read from verse 20 right to the end of the chapter. Matthew 11, verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. May God in his grace minister to your heart. Thank you for coming, and I trust you'll be blessed tonight as we open the Word and as we fellowship together this evening. Nice to see Chris here tonight and his friend as well. We welcome you and those that are faithful and regular, and even the boys and girls here, we welcome you tonight as well. The announcements, well, they're in the bulletin for the month of June, and there are those few extra dates. One thing I didn't mention this morning is our intended day of evangelistic outreach, which is Saturday, June 15th. And the plan is to meet here at the church at 9:30 in the morning, have a prayer time, go out on some outreach, do lunch, and then some more outreach in the afternoon. So we'll have to decide where we go, how we do this, but we'd ask you to keep that day free if you can, if you're willing to help, and we'll look forward to good fellowship on that day and good opportunity. So please pray that the Lord will use this and go before us in that day of outreach. Then also the invitation to the meetings for the Creation Science Association of BC. That's in a couple of different churches, Friday and Saturday, and you can pick up this leaflet and get the information on that. The other Saturday meeting out in the Free Reformed Church for the PTRS, that is the Puritan, PRTS, Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, and the speaker is Dr. Joel Beakey, and there's one other speaker, I don't remember his name, maybe Urban, maybe was his name, and the dinner is at 6, the meeting is at 7:30, and if you are going for dinner, you are asked to do an RSVP, and that's by email. If you need that, just give me a call or let me know, and we'll get you that information. I think these are all our announcements. We're going to turn to our offering hymn, 297, 297, Only Trust Him, Only Trust Him, 297. Come, every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, 297. Mr. Samuel, you'll lead us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for these tithes and offerings. We ask that you take them and use them to extend your kingdom here in the city of Surrey, across this land of Canada, and across this world. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry that we will hear this night. We pray for our pastor. Bless him in the pulpit. Help us in the pews. We pray that the Holy Spirit would have his way in our hearts. Lord, may this word go deep within our being, and Lord, help us to be fruitful for Christ's sake this week. We ask that we would be more conformed to his likeness. Help us to be faithful and obedient and ambassadors that are known to be followers of Christ. Help us, Lord, we ask this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand for the final verse only, please. 297, verse 4. Father, we pray for your help and grace tonight, and we pray that you will open up this wonderful promise, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Lord, I pray for that rest for every soul here tonight and every hearer. O Lord, that you will calm the troubled, that you will lift the burden, and especially those that have the burden of sin upon their lives. O Lord, that you will deal graciously and mercifully. And so we pray that you'll write this wonderful promise upon our hearts and help us to minister tonight in your name and for your honor and for your people. Lord, bless your people in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Matthew 11, we're coming to the end of the chapter, to those last few verses. I want you to imagine tonight that you were reading the newspaper and you came across an advertisement calling people to a retreat where you will find the ultimate rest, a getaway from it all of a pampered 24/7 experience on a tourist resort with all the luxuries that money could buy. Well, that might be tempting. You'd probably take a second read over that advertisement. And of course, there are constant offers for healing, constant offers for help to those that are under burdens and cares. Tourist companies that have all kinds of packages that they offer, and it all reads very well. Well, here tonight in Matthew 11, verse 28, we have a wonderful offer to gospel rest, to soul rest. And of all the promises in the Bible, I think this is the deepest, and it is the most life-changing. If we could lay hold upon this promise, and if it was fulfilled in our lives and hearts, we would be blessed indeed. Now, the Lord went a lot further than just bodily healing or financial freedom. He offered rest to souls. If you look at the end of verse 29, and it says, "And ye shall find rest unto your souls." And so he invited people to come to him personally, to come to him directly, to find this rest. And it's a most interesting illustration that the Lord used when he said, "Take my yoke upon you." And I think you're familiar with that of the farmer plowing with oxen and how that wooden yoke is used to synchronize those two beasts together. And the Lord invites us to be united to him, to come unto him under his rule and reign, that we might find this rest. So what a great offer it is. What a tremendous offer. That if we will give our hearts and lives to the Lord and surrender to him, that he will give rest to our souls. But rightly, you will be asking, how can the Lord do that? How does that work? How can the Lord promise rest to our souls? Well, I have a few thoughts on that, and I want to lead you to think about these things. Firstly, Jesus offers rest because of the Father's authority behind the promise. As always, when you're reading the Bible, you need to look at the text in context. You need to read what led to this statement, what built up to it. And if you go back to verse 27, you'll notice how the Lord Jesus spoke on very amazing terms. And he is outlining here the power, the authority that he possesses that he might be the Savior of sinners and give this rest unto his people. Now you'll notice in that verse 27 that the Lord Jesus is uniquely bound up in the life of his Father. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Great strange words. Deep words. They're very profound words. And so you'll see that the infinite nature, the character of the Son. You and I can't comprehend the fullness that is in Christ, but the Father can. And you and I cannot comprehend the fullness that is in God the Father, but the Son can. They are bound up in one another's life because they are equals. God the Father, God the Son, and they understand and they know each other. Not even angels can know God as the Son knows the Father. Anything that we can possibly know about God will come to us through the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus, because only he knows the Father as he needs and ought to be known. And so, if we really want to know God, if we really want to know rest in God, peace with God, then it's going to come to us through the Lord Jesus. We need to go to him. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, come unto me. Because I know the Father, and the Father knows me, and I am able to act as the mediator to lead you into this wonderful blessing of the Father. You'll notice there in verse 27 that he is the revealer of the Father, he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. There's another passage, Hebrews 1, that talks about Jesus being the express image of the Father. He's the mirror image. He is the exact character, likeness of the Father. And Jesus came into the world to make the Father known. He was able to say, he that hath seen the Son hath seen the Father. And so we need to comprehend this fullness, this revelatory power and grace that is in our Lord Jesus. There is no rest, of course, in false gospels. There is no rest in man-made ideas and ideologies and philosophies. But there is true rest. Rest for your soul. Full salvation. Peace with God. By taking up this offer and coming to the Lord Jesus. Because in Christ is all that you need. And everything that God has for you is in his Son. There is no other source, there is no other channel, there is no other pipeline that can bring the blessing of God into your life apart from knowing and bowing the knee to the Lord Jesus. And so rightly the Lord could say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will see also in that verse 27 that he is the covenant of the mediator of the covenant. Now that's theological language, isn't it? The mediator of the covenant. You'll find that in the shorter catechism, the larger catechism. You'll find that in chapter 8 in the Westminster Confession of Faith. Jesus is the mediator of the covenant. But it's in the Bible. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now what does a mediator do? A mediator is like a broker. He arranges the delivery. He receives the order. He does all the paperwork, and the broker makes it happen. And so the Lord Jesus is the agent, the mediator, the arranger of every blessing that God brings into the hearts and lives of his people. Paul talked about every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now think of all that that means. The Lord Jesus is our life giver. Every blessing, whether it's food on the table, health, the very breath that we breathe, health and strength, every sustenance of life comes to us through the Lord. He feeds us, he clothes us, he cares for us, he protects us, he binds up our sores, he heals us, and he helps us through all the walk of life. But he's also the head of the church. He is the head, we are the body. We're members united to the head. And we therefore serve the head. And we take every command from the Lord. Just as the head sends the instructions, the commands to your hands, your mouth to talk, as I'm doing now, or the command to stand up and sing, just as your brain gives you that command, the Lord is the one who commands the blessings. And he's the head of the church. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over his people. He's also, of course, the judge of all the earth. He's the one that we're going to stand before. I'm going to give account. And he will search our hearts and lives. He knows our deeds, he knows our words, he knows our thoughts. We shall all stand before him. And so when we think of all of those things, and then we hear the invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can see that there is great authority in that invitation. There is the authority of God, equal with the Father, the covenant mediator, the revealer of every blessing. All the fullness of God is in him. And I have to say that when I studied these things, I thought about what Pharaoh said to the people when he made Joseph the prime minister of the land. When they needed food, when they needed the granaries to be opened and the grain to be dispensed, Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. And that is a great picture of the Father saying to you, go to Jesus. Whatever your need, whatever your burden, whatever you're laden down with, go to Jesus. He is the Savior you need. And when he invites you, come unto me, that is a genuine, authoritative invitation. And he can open the storehouses of God's blessing in your life. And so you must personally go to him. And so this is the reason why it is right that we take of the Lord up in his offer. The next thing is that Jesus is the one to give us rest, because of the clear definition of that rest. We want clarity here. We want to understand exactly what we're talking about. And we've already learned that this is rest for our souls. It's more than just physical. It's more than just a doctor's appointment to attend to some anemic condition or some problem that we face in the body. This is spiritual rest. We are to experience it in our hearts, in our souls. It should affect our prayer life. It should affect our worship. It should affect our walk with God. And the Lord is saying that He offers this rest. Now, the clarity comes from that illustration of the oxen plowing. The Lord saying, take my yoke upon you and find rest. What does it mean to be yoked to the Lord Jesus? As you think of those two oxen and that bar that goes across their necks, one to the other. And these oxen are big, sturdy beasts. They might be 3-4 feet wide. So you've got this 6-foot wooden bar, maybe 4 or 5 inches in diameter, going across the necks of these beasts. And there's ropes or bands that are tying them down to their shoulders, putting them in place, so that those two animals must walk in sync. There must be in lockstep one with another. And where that first beast moves, the other must go along in synchronization with it. It must be in agreement with it. And so this is a very powerful illustration of what it means to be a Christian. The Lord exhorts us to take up this yoke, take His yoke upon Him, and learn of Him. Now, many think that to take up a yoke would be bondage. And of course, many think that if you become a Christian, you're just going to lose all the joy of life and all the freedom of life, and you're going to have a cruel, hard taskmaster to serve. And a yoke, of course, might give you that impression as well. Paul talked about servants, that they were yoke fellows. 1 Corinthians 6:1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own that their own masters worthy of all honor. And so this is the language of being under the headship, under the guidance, and even the control of the Lord. And that's what the Christian life is. We are totally surrendering our lives to the direction and to the headship of the Lord Jesus. So why would anybody do that? Why would you give up your life, your independence, your freedom to be yoked to the Lord Jesus? Well, because all men are servants of somebody or something. Every one of us is a servant of something. As a Christian tonight, you are a servant of righteousness. And I'm thinking of Romans 6 in this. As Christ is our head, we are servants of righteousness. But if you're not a Christian, what are you? Then Paul says in Romans 6, you are a servant of sin. You are a slave of sin. You're in bondage. You're not free. Every one of us is born into this bondage because by birth we are born into sin, into the rule and domain and dominion of Satan. And so don't think that you are opting into some life of horrible, cruel mastery by becoming a Christian. But rather you're coming out of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of slavery to Satan and sin, into real freedom. Because, as we learn here, the Lord's burden is light, unlike the devil's burden. If you're not a Christian tonight, you're under a very heavy burden. You're under a weight that you cannot bear. It will crush you. It will ruin you. And one day it will even damn you. That's the burden that sin brings. Now, there is an example of this in the life of King Saul. You remember during the days of Samuel that the Israelites were crying out, "Give us a king that we might be like the other nations." And Samuel says, no, you don't want to do that. That would only bring you into misery. But they pleaded and they pleaded and they persisted. And then God said to Samuel, give them their way. And God gave them Saul. Now, in 1 Samuel 8, there's a whole rehearsal of what would happen to the people of Israel when they move from having the Lord as their master or their king to having Saul as their king. And it says, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that will rule over you. He will take your sons. And then I'm just going to jump down over the verses that says, he will take your sons, he will take your daughters, he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, he will take the tenth of your seed, he will take your men servants and your maid servants, he will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye will be his servants. And so Israel, as they moved from direct leadership with God to a kingdom, they put themselves into bondage. There's no such thing as being independent and free. There is no such thing as you being your own man or your own woman. You serve someone or something. And if you are not a Christian, if you are not in Christ, if you do not take his offer, come unto me to find rest for your souls, then you are going to be under the bondage of sin forever and ever. And remember, Satan is that Apollyon. He's that destroyer of souls. And that's where you're headed. If you're not a Christian tonight, that's where you're headed. Destruction. And the devil will take. He'll take your mind, he'll take your heart, he'll take your love, he'll take your money, he'll take your health, he'll take your soul until you are destroyed. And so here tonight is this great invitation from the Lord Jesus, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And don't listen to the lie that the Lord will be a hard taskmaster. You know the old story about the Puritans? That they always worried that someone somewhere might just be having fun? That's not the God of heaven. That's not the life of a Christian. The Lord will give you rest for your soul. Gospel rest. Heart rest. Rest that will lead you into the way of blessing. Think of the many to whom the Lord ministered. Was he a hard master? Was he a cruel slave driver? Think of the blind beggars that came to Jesus. The widows that came in their mourning. Think of Jairus, whose daughter was nigh to death and did die, and the Lord raised her to life again. Think of the fallen, the prostitutes, the harlots. Think of the woman of Samaria. Think of how tenderly Jesus dealt with that woman. Now, he pointed to her sin. He did not bypass the wretched life that she was living. But he drew her very warmly, graciously, and gave her new life. He did the same with the woman taken in adultery, John 8. And while others condemned her, he ended up saying to her, no man condemneth thee, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then there was the woman who came with the alabaster box of ointment, washing the feet of Jesus, the Pharisees criticizing and saying, why did he allow that? And the Lord commended the woman for showing the compassion and love, and he dealt with her very graciously. And something else I'll point out, with all of those three women, the woman of Samaria, the woman who was taken in adultery, John 8, or the woman who came to wash Jesus' feet and anoint him, the Lord never mentioned their name. They were dealt with anonymously. And I think there was love there. There was compassion there, that each of those women might recover themselves. He didn't put their sins on the front page of the newspaper. He didn't broadcast, but he dealt with them personally and graciously. And he gave them gospel rest, freedom from sin. That was a mighty and a wonderful blessing indeed. And so the Lord Jesus said that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. And so the Lord says to you tonight, come unto me and I will give you rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He is not inviting you to be crushed, to be a slave in misery, but to enjoy the freedom, the wonderful gospel freedom that is in the Lord Jesus. I want you to see too in these verses that this was an unconditional invitation. It was the power of the Lord to invite all to come to him without having firstly to get rid of their load and their burdens. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. They were to come with their labor. They were to come with their cares and bring them all to Jesus. Come with your fears, the fear of criticism, the fear of condemnation, the fear of judgment, the fear of death, the fear of failure, heartaches. Come with your sins, laden. That's the language that the Lord uses here. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And so this is an unconditional invitation. The Lord doesn't tell you, firstly, break your sin. He doesn't firstly say, you know, get the victory over every unclean thing in your life and come back to me when you're clean. Come back to me when you're a new person. No, he says, come now as you are. Come with your brokenness. Come with your failure. Come in your misery and find rest that I give. I will give you rest for your souls. Come as you are. Now, most commentators that I've read on this apply this, the Lord Jesus directing this to Jewish people who were tired and weary of the ceremonialism of Judaism. The expensive way of life, offering sacrifices, and the richer you were, the more expensive the sacrifice you were meant to bring. The poor would bring a pigeon, middle class would bring a lamb or a goat, and those who could afford it would bring a bull or a bullock, and they would offer those sacrifices. There was all the travel that was involved to the three main feasts, by which all the meals at least were commanded to travel and make their way to Jerusalem. They would go through their ceremonies and all the weariness of it, and all with no gain, they would remain empty and barren. And the Lord was ministering to them, come unto me. Just don't go through all these ceremonies. Come to me, and I will give you rest. And so the Lord is speaking to everyone that has a religion of works. We could preach this to the Muslim. I mentioned this morning of listening in to those testimonies by converted Muslims. And the Islam is a system of works from your birth to your death. Everything is to Allah. Everything is to please. Everything is a performance. Whether it's memorization of the Quran, it's all about a performance to please, to gain points. And then, of course, those who become religious and even think of jihad and the more radical and the more outward performance of the Islamic life, it's all performance, it's all to gain. And yet there is no peace, no display of rest. And if I could think of a religion of restlessness, the Muslim faith has to be it. It offers no rest. There is no atonement. There's no pardon. There's no assurance of eternal life. It's all works from beginning to end. Roman Catholicism, in spite of all the jargon they use that might jive with some biblical Christianity, in spite of that, there is no rest in Roman Catholicism. Everybody dies with the fear of purgatory. Everyone dies without an assurance of eternal life, no matter how much they have lived and much they have done. And so this invitation of the Lord Jesus to find rest for their souls is the invitation of assurance, of peace and gladness, of joy, of liberty, and all the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus frees us from all the alarms of conscience. It calms the conscience. It sets us free from the terrors of the law. And of course, from the king of terrors himself, death. And so then this gospel of Christ brings believers into true rest. Are you interested in true rest? Are you interested in changing your life? Giving up what makes you weary and empty? In fact, this really is utopia. This is the real life. Someone put it this way, that the Christian will suffer as much hell as he ever will while in this world. Whatever you have to deny yourself to be a Christian, whatever you may have to endure to be a Christian, that's as much hell you'll ever suffer in this world. You'll never suffer a drop of hell. But for the ungodly, they get as much of heaven as they ever will in this life. That's the only joy they'll ever have. And it might be booze, it might be vices, it might be lust, it might be crime, it might be drugs, it might be a life of abandonment and just what some people say, having a wild life. And many find pleasure in that. But be warned, that's the only rest they'll ever have. That's the only enjoyment they'll ever have. Because when the king of terrors comes and death strikes, it'll be gone forever. There's no rest in hell. There is no peace without Christ. There is no hope without the Savior. And so tonight I bid you to take up the Lord's offer that he gives you right here in this text. And notice how gracious, gentle, and caring the Savior is. And it's like he doubles up on the statements and he emphasizes the point, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." And by the way, that's the only time in all of the Gospels where the Lord speaks of his own heart. It's the only time he refers to his own heart condition. He's lowly in heart. He is not trying to rule you, ruin you. He is filled with tenderness and compassion. And then he doubles it up by saying it again in verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I liken it to that yoke being between a bull and a calf. Just a newborn, staggering on his legs, and the bull pulling that plow or whatever the instrument is, and he walks the furrow, and he does all the pulling. He does all the plowing. The little calf, he's just dandering along. In fact, he's getting dragged along at times. And when you are united to Christ, it's not your strength, it's not your power, it's not your victory. It is Christ's power, and you are locked into it, united to Jesus, enjoying his power, his grace in your life, so that you live a new life and you walk the walk, but it's in Christ and it's in his power and in his victory. And so tonight, run to him. Sinner, run. Take up this offer. Don't go the road of misery and real slavery and destruction. Take up the offer tonight. Come. What a free offer it is. Come unto me, all ye. Your name's in there. Put it in and come. And the Lord will save you. And I bid you earnestly to believe and be saved and be sure of it tonight. Will you come? And again, if I can help you after this service, I gladly will. We're going to conclude with hymn number 311 tonight. 311. Come to the Savior. 311. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. 311. Let's stand to sing now. We thank thee tonight for this wonderful, wonderful rest that is in the Lord Jesus. Rest for our souls today, tomorrow, each day until heaven. And then it is eternal rest. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you that you paid for this by your own blood, by your own death at the cross. We thank thee that you offer to every believer this invitation to come and find rest for their souls. Lord, tonight we pray that your Spirit will move hearts, and draw men and women, young people, to believe and receive the Lord Jesus and the rest that is in him. O Lord, work graciously, we pray. Dismiss us now with your blessing, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed people now and ever. Amen. Amen.